Shut up and sit down.
It's Sunday afternoon in Fremont. It's time for the Seattle Laughter Party! This week we have a new player panel with all new players to CSC Seattle! Joining me is Daniel.
Hi, everybody.
Alex.
Word.
And Justin. Yes, that is all of them. And we're going to just get started really quick, but because there's studies to show that people sometimes only listen to the first 5 minutes of podcasts. So let's really quickly give them where they can follow you before they stop listening to this podcast.
Oh, boy.
Daniel.
I don't keep everything in one spot. You got to add me as a friend on Facebook, Daniel Kinnaman.
Okay.
You can see stuff there. Also have a podcast, Third Act Saviors, and a few others. Listen to the rest of the show for those.
Yeah, we'll find out about that, yes. All right. And Alex Jurabek, you're new to the podcast. I don't think anybody knows who you are.
Yeah, no, I've only been on this podcast like six times. since this is me personally, I'm not going to pitch anything. Just follow me at CrustlessPunk on Twitter.
Crustless?
Yeah, it's like a crust punk, but like a really, really white one.
Oh.
Like needs a crust cut off a sandwich and is like moshes, but then like, you know, gets picked up by their mom. Yeah.
Shut up. I did that down in Olympia at the Capitol Theater.
We all
did. Drop me off a block from the place.
Mom. Oh, gosh. All right. Justin.
Yeah, I have a Twitter. It's Mr. Lund, but with a Y. So MYSTERLUND.
Ooh.
Not Meister. It's Mr. Lund. And I am in another group besides Comedy Sports called the Improvenati, and we play shows. And I don't know when one is. But if you see it, go check it out.
We play shows.
Improvenati confirmed, I guess is how that goes.
Nice.
I
don't
know. The last time I was on this podcast.
That's true.
That's one for the super listeners.
Yeah, that have listened to two podcasts.
It really doesn't take that long ago. I wasn't that far back that Alex was back on a podcast. He had a streak going where he was basically my co-host.
Well, back when you did this after the Saturday matches, mm-hmm. when I was bartending,
yeah.
It was very easy to walk 5 feet and start drinking.
Yes.
And now,
oops.
I mean, I'm not going to say how much I've drank because we're supposed to be sober before the show. So,
yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Totally.
Drinking water right now. We're all drinking water. Okay, so what we're going to do that's different from normal shows for our listeners, usually we play a match game, but these people are already trained improvisers, ready to talk and say stuff, so we're going to play some improv-y games, not always games that we necessarily play back there, but I wanted to start with kind of like, not necessarily a game of word ball, but of word association, so just step in with something, and we will go. So I guess I will start with the word helmet.
Oh. Industrial.
Blender.
Steel?
Steel Panther. Leggings.
Leggings.
Ooh. Planet.
Ooh.
Grandiose.
Mahogany.
Colonialism.
India. Let's just make it clear where you
Chai.
Basicism.
Oh, white people.
Yeah, hey, great. Yay.
Yay. I'm going to take white people and put it in my pocket.
Yeah. Anybody who's ever been to a Comedy Sports show knows how much stuff goes in the pocket.
Anyone who's been to the pocket theater, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, we don't
pocket things there.
It's banned.
Yeah.
They put it in their sports bag.
Yeah. They put in their sports bag. And they have, it's in the 5 minute preamble that'll, you know, explain what's gonna happen.
Now, based off of our responses in our association game, if you can figure out what all our weird mental stuff we got going on is and tweet at me about it, I'll give you a shout out on my podcast.
Yeah.
So just your amateur psychology podcast?
Yeah.
Are you just going to shamelessly plug yourself throughout this podcast?
At every turn, I'll be doing that.
Hey, guys. shamelessly plug yourselves. That's fine. That's what this podcast is all about. And so many people don't take advantage of it. I mean, Alex has taken advantage of it more than anybody, and he could take advantage of it more. So that's just saying something. So,
well, with that being said, Third X Saviors on iTunes and SoundCloud.
But if, I imagine, like, if you listen to that show, that you're on it plugging, like, your other show.
I am.
And if you, like, follow it around, it's just, like, an endless...
It's like, have you ever seen, like, an M.C. Escher drawing? It's like that, but of my podcasts and improv shows.
So what is the name of your podcast? Third X Saviors?
Third Act Saviors.
Third Act Saviors.
Yeah.
I was thinking at first, like, Third Xaviors, like... You know, in
third
the,
Xavier's,
yeah,
like
yeah, in the third X-Men movie.
Third X-Men movie, Saviors of the Third X-Men movie. It's all about the third X-Men movie, and we take a minute at a time of the movie. So, like, episode one of the podcast is the first minute of the movie. So we really just go through, like, the opening credits, and then, like, the second episode is, you know, like, you just take it a minute at a time.
This sounds like Ryan North's in-depth analysis of the Back to the Future novelization of the screenplay.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, you know, it's like, it's going to the extreme of people who take, I don't think this is a bad idea, but they'll take a TV series, and they just take each episode at a time, and they just do a podcast. Okay, this is about this episode, and we're going to podcast about this. And then, stop. But, like, taking a movie and just taking it, it's like, this is going to be about the first minute of the movie. So, you know, if you're watching at home, watch minute zero through one.
I want to do an Inception podcast, but instead of being about Inception, it's actually like a podcast within other people's podcasts. So I think this is episode one of the Inception podcast, and I'm going to have people tune into it.
that's awesome. I like it. Now so we have to get you in touch with a lot of other podcasters.
This is the alt-reality game of podcasting.
Well, do you have to give an opinion on the movie Inception while you're on someone else's podcast?
No, it's just this is my Inception podcast. It's inside of this podcast.
Inception is really a state of being and not a movie.
Yeah. We're all in a simulation anyway, so.
Also, before we move on to analyzing things, can I mention Lasagna Cat?
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So Lasagna Cat, one of my favorite ones is just looking at just awful Garfield strips and then, like, doing a weird little music video about them. But there's one that's an hour and a half long, one take of this guy in depth explaining the psychology and his professing his love for this one Garfield strip that is bad. It's just John sitting there going, "Where's my pipe?" and then looking, and then a cut to Garfield smoking a pipe. And the text bubble, Garfield! Yeah. But it's an hour and a half long one take of just the, like, oh, like the Fibonacci sequence that's shown by John Arbuckle's arm as it spirals out. And, like,
it's amazing. I mean, it's so weird, too, because, like, you're right. Garfield is just one of those things that has, it's got funny strips from time to time, but it's just, like, a character that there's so much of this, like, okay, he hates Mondays and he likes lasagna.
Oh.
Got it. You know, like we've hit that joke to death for 20 years, and
it is good that Jim Davis is totally on board with, like, the Garfield without Garfield.
Yeah.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah. Because that's
like Garfield comics where he's removed, right? It's just the other characters reacting or talking.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and there's two of them. There's ones that have all Garfield removed, and there's one that's have his thought bubble. Because really, it's always a thought bubble. Garfield doesn't talk. And so when you're just, like, looking at John just saying stuff at his cat.
Well, I personally hate Garfield. One time in college, a girl I was dating sent me a Garfield cartoon through our student mail system, and I opened it and was like, clock's ticking on this one.
It doesn't look like this relationship's going to work out.
What's the best or worst reason you've ever broken up with someone?
Oh.
Because Garfield's strip is pretty great.
Well, that was a straw.
Oh, the best or worst.
I broke up with a girl once because she insisted on cleaning my apartment.
What?
I was young and naive, and I was like, I have to learn responsibility, so I'm going to clean my apartment before I move out. and I was doing a very bad job, and she really wanted to help. And I was like, no, I can be an adult, so go away.
I can be an adult, go away.
Go away, I can be an adult.
Yeah.
Was it because you felt bad that you weren't the one being good at cleaning your apartment?
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to get into deep psychoanalysis.
She was also a vegan, so that was that.
Yeah, I don't have any. I don't have any good breakups.
What about you? Anything?
I'm just trying to think. All my breakups are all pretty lame that I can remember. I've been married for 20 years now, so remembering breakups is hard.
Yeah.
But they were usually because the other person, not me, wanted to get more serious, and I was not ready.
Yeah.
I'm always too quiet.
Yeah, we want to hear you, man. We want to hear you, just.
It's hard to look right at that and talk when I'm talking to you guys.
It's okay. That's why I turned it towards you, so it'll pick you up better.
Okay.
Since you're going to be the quiet one. I'm going to be the loud one. I know this.
I got a mole on this one.
Yeah, I don't have many, that's a funny reason to have a breakup, but I have a whole lot of reasons of why I didn't, like, start a relationship with somebody I should have, because I was, like, super timid in general, and I actually remember one time, like, just having a great night with this gal, and I was like, hey, you know, like, I really like to... Like to date and stuff, you know. I was that timid where you're laughing. And she was kind of like, yeah, I don't know that I'm ready yet. Cause she's just, but you know, I would like to go to this dance with you. And I was like, okay, but like, I didn't ask her to the dance.
No.
And next thing I know, like, we're at the dance and she's at the dance with someone else. And I'm like, God, I'm an idiot.
Why do they make students go to dances?
I was wondering where you're going to end that sentence.
Get ready.
Why do they make students go to dances?
Well, that seems like a cruel thing. Like, you know, you're feeling kind of weird socially anyways. Why don't we put you in a pressure cooker of just awfulness that you cannot handle?
It's not like they made me go to the dance.
Dancing time is mandatory now.
All students, report to the gymnasium for the mandatory dance hour.
Yeah. They actually did that at the Mormon church in my hometown.
Oh, yeah, they do make you go to the dance.
Mormon dances are the best. I almost swore.
Arms length. I'm sure.
Arms length, and it's in like a grid pattern.
Yeah. Well, as an awkward guy in high school, you go to the Mormon dances and you show up and they try and recruit you. And so all of a sudden you're getting all sorts of attention from everyone.
1 second. You went to Mormon dances?
Yeah. So our high school was across the street from a Mormon steakhouse? Church? They have some name that I can't remember.
Tabernacle.
It's actually
Tabernacle.
Is it Tabernacle? Yeah. Okay.
I like Mormon Steakhouse Church,
it's a temple,
though.
No,
temple.
Well, they also have tabernacles.
I thought a tabernacle was a word for choir.
I think the tabernacle is like the bigger, like building. The nexus, and the temples are the smaller, like...
So I'm an ordained steakhouse dance.
Yeah.
I'm an ordained Mormon priest, and I do not know this.
So, yeah, you show up to this dance...
Dance away.
I want to talk about my dance.
Talk about your dance, big guy.
You show up to this dance. Everyone's super excited that you're there. They're like, we're all going to do the electric slide. And then a bunch of pretty girls are like, will you dance with me now? And you're like, Mormonism. Got to get in. I want to tithe to this.
I'll give you 10% of something, baby.
Yeah. No, it's very chaste and nice.
Oh, that's so bad.
That's the standard tithe. It's also the cue where say just the tip.
Yeah. So yes, I recommend going to Mormon dances.
Yeah, no, they're all attractive humans, and if you ignore things or don't have an ethical code about just going to Mormon dances to meet women.
I wasn't meeting women. I was just getting some attention. We all do improv. You guys know what it's like.
Yeah, it's true. I do a little improv for attention. Everybody, clap for us! Yay! Because we have a small ego. Please, clap at a level 10 because we're sad people.
We have a bad Facebook review because one guy didn't like that we asked him to clap.
No, sir. We're not asking you to get the clap. We're asking you to clap.
Oh.
He asked me to get the clap, so I went to the bathroom to get it.
Ew. Ew, indeed.
Our bathrooms are cleaner than that, Daryl.
Our bathrooms are, but if you invite the right person, you know, or if you end up in Narnia, like we've talked about in some jokes. Yeah. That joke is not working anymore because we don't have the crazy clothing store anymore.
Yeah, I now refer to it as the abandoned, probably not haunted clothing store.
Is Atlas gone?
Yeah.
Are we taking over that space?
We might. Mm. There's a good probability that we will, but there's no sure thing.
There's a lot of rampant speculation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would all like to for many, many reasons. And the trick is just making it happen. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That'd be cool. I want the freaky long form stage to get built.
Yeah, that's one possibility is that we have a little tiny theater to do more indie experimental stuff.
Mm-hmm. I volunteered for carpentry, if you need any.
Oh man, Alex would love that.
I told him and I was like, I can hammer, I can nail, and he was looking at me weird. And I was like, no, I mean, I can just, like, thrust a hammer at a target.
And point me towards that nail.
And pound things. And he kind of, like, shifted away from me. I don't know what.
Usually he needs someone to screw.
PG-13, I was warned.
This is carpentry.
Carpentry, bro.
Dude.
Yeah, we went from Mormonism to carpentry. I mean, it's the same thing.
This stage that we're on, which is a field when it's comedy sports, was not like just here. Somebody had to put it together, and they used screws and nails and stuff.
Did you know stages are not naturally occurring geological shapes?
What? Not here in Seattle, but maybe somewhere else.
What about the Gorge Amphitheater?
Ah! Oh, boom!
That's an amphitheater, not a stage, stupid.
Also, the stage itself is totally brought in and put up.
I thought that was just like a natural aluminum formation.
Crystalline aluminum structure.
It's amazing. They've just got all the places and lights that just naturally work, bioluminescent lighting.
Neon.
Yeah,
neo lighting, that's something else, Alex. Use your words.
I used to think, when I was a kid and I was told that the universe is infinite and there's infinite planets, there's just infinite everything out there, I was like, there's probably a planet where everything just perfectly went right during its formation, where a car got formed on top of it. Just a perfect car was made. Because if there's infinite possibilities, then it must have happened at some point.
Has anyone read His Dark Materials?
Yeah.
The motorcycle creatures?
Yeah.
The naturally paved roads? Yeah.
Oh, he interesting. Thought.
They use tree nuts for wheels.
Oh, yeah, tree nuts.
Ooh. Wait, is this the lore of cars?
Yes. No, there's just a planet somewhere or a reality or a world where there was these creatures with... So they didn't have wheels. They had little weird formed hooks.
Yeah.
And they figured out that these nuts that were wheel-shaped... made wheels, and then also when they put their hooks in the nut, there was like a natural oil lubrication for the grease of the wheel, and then the planet had like
lube up those nuts.
Yeah, the planet had these long stretches of some kind of natural paved road. I don't remember what that was. Lava.
I think I really wanted to write about motorcycle monsters. Really bad.
That sounds like fan fiction and not.
There was a pilot, and you can still find all three parts of the pilot out there, where it was Jack Black and Owen Wilson, and I think Owen Wilson was the voice of
Heat Vision.
Heat Vision, yeah. And Jack. That's right. Heat Vision and Jack. And you, I swear to God, it's actually, I mean, it's Jack Black and Owen Wilson. It is what you think it is. Basically, Jack Black is the voice of, no, Jack Black is the guy riding it. And Owen Wilson is the voice of this motorcycle. He got transformed into a motorcycle. And the idea is they go out solving crimes or something.
Jack Black's superpower is that when sunlight hits him, he gets really smart.
So, oh yeah, I forgot about that part too.
And he yells, "I know everything!" and uses his immense knowledge to break out of jail cells.
So it's like MacGyver meets Kit, like Knight Rider, MacGyver, with a little twist
of humor. Yeah. was good. But I highly recommend watching it. If you haven't seen it, watch it. You can find it on YouTube, on the pilot. It's the pilot episode. And it's what you think it is, and it would have been a beautiful romp, but I can understand why no network would touch it. But now that there's like things like Netflix doing stuff and Hulu doing stuff and these other stations, somebody should... I mean, if you can get the rights to it, of course. Nobody will give up rights, even if it's something they won't touch with a 10-foot pole themselves. But if you could get something like that, it would have been just a fun romp to do.
I'm sure Jack Black could kickstart that.
Here's what I don't understand. How does BBC let so many wacky, crazy, insane shows happen? They only have 3 channels? In the UK, or 4?
Really? It's because they don't they're not beholden to the season schedule like us. They have shows that are on it. They are on at odd times. They're we're going to start at 12:13, you know, for this show, and then it's going to be a show that runs for 46 minutes, you know, like odd times, and they go and they put them together.
And there's 8 episodes.
Yeah, and then it's it. And then there's a new episode. Because I think what they care about is creating new art and trying new stuff. Mm-hmm. And I watch a lot of BBC shows because it feels like they're not being Hollywood, where Hollywood tries to take everything and put it directly in a box and say, you cannot go outside this box. If it's a comedy, it's a comedy. If it's a drama, it's a drama. If it's an action thing, it's an action thing. If it's, you know, whereas BBC's like, well, it's a cop drama with comedy and there's some romance, and they've just put all these things in a blender and mix it up, and it's about the characters being real. So if that character would be funny in real life, even though it's a very dramatic thing, they're gonna let them be funny. They're not gonna go, no, we can't be funny. This is a drama, you know? It's like, and I've watched a lot just because of that.
Also, do they have commercials? I don't think they have commercials.
I don't think so.
Well, so BBC they're also not beholden to that corporate.
Yeah. BBC's public, right?
Yeah, because the 3 channels are public. I mean, there are corporate channels in England.
Cable.
Like cable,
your basic 3 or 4 channels, that's all. I know there's 3 BBC, and then there's maybe one other one.
Yeah, I think there's BBC 4 or something. But then there's Dave, which is another station there.
Dave?
It's just a guy named Dave, just chilling.
I don't know. It does sound like that, but the only reason I know about him is because they took over doing Red Dwarf.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they redid Red Dwarf, and they did season 10, which was...
Oh, yeah, I saw.
Season 10, not Back to Earth.
Oh.
It was the one it felt like original Dwarf.
Really?
Like, yeah, it felt great. So I was really happy with that. And I haven't seen season 11 yet because they released it on BBC America, and then I thought, oh, I'll get to watch it because I ended up with like this CenturyLink cable thing, but you know, I didn't get all the channels, so one of the channels I didn't get was BBC America, so, and then just trying to figure out where to watch it was,
sorry.
Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf. All right.
Yeah.
I feel like I missed the Red Dwarf bus.
I have no idea what you're talking about either. This just felt like Daryl talks about his cable plan.
You've never seen Red Dwarf? Oh, man.
I don't watch TV.
A whole podcast where we break down each
episode
by minute,
but on different podcasts.
By minute. Well, we'll do it in 5-minute chunks.
Okay.
You know, like, this will be the first, a little less, because, you know, it's going to be really hard to go in 5-minute chunks through back to Earth. But, you know, other than that, it would be decent.
I really want to do some kind of sci-fi improv thing. You're doing a sci-fi thing.
Oh, I'm in a sci-fi improv show. I keep forgetting about that.
Tell me more about that, Alex.
It's called
Drobeck.
Reality's Edge.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it is going to... So it's based on a sci-fi commons story who were on this podcast about a year ago.
Yeah.
So they're a group that does audio dramas that are like in the style of old radio dramas. And they're all like, yeah, sci-fi themed. So we are reading one. There are voice actors who are going to be,
I'm one of them.
Yeah, Daryl's one of them.
Cool. You're in that too.
I'm in that too. Right.
Yeah, voice actors are actors. I don't know why you had to correct me there. So they're going to be reading out the audio drama, and then after a short break, there's going to be a group of improvisers who basically do like an Armando format of taking inspiration from that and doing scenes in that universe or just things riffing on it, but we'll be like oscillating between. The story is about a team that goes to Mars and finds.
So the plan is for the improv scene to be oscillating back and forth with improv scenes based on what happens and some suggestions from the audience on Earth and on Mars.
Yeah.
Because Earth and Mars are so far apart, and things will be different on both.
Things will be different, but the actual story is about the Mars side of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a well of humor in what's going on back Earth times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's, the improvisers for that are Corey Googles.
Yeah.
Is, I think, how you pronounce Corey's last name.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've never pronounced his last name, so,
yeah.
Her last name.
Weevil. So, and then, yeah, Jakiva is also doing improv.
Jakiva is doing improv and, doing voice.
For and doing voice, and you're doing both as well?
Yeah.
And then me. And,
We were gonna have somebody who dropped out, so I won't say their name because I can't remember. this is what I'm talking about. I'm terrible at marketing. I'm like I
there's
should
there's a little indie show at the Bog you should check out on Thursday.
Yeah,
it's gonna be it's a super cool story.
That's
yeah,
a fun story. I like
yeah.
it.
All their audio dramas are very well written, and they're in the process of producing their. They're still like producing that whole channel, right?
Yeah, they are, and most of that stuff is done like the idea of an audio drama, but with post production and stuff like that, rather than live. And so now he's trying to do live shows, so that because he'd like to do more live shows like this on a semi regular basis, where it's like, hey, watch an audio drama of sci fi stuff, and we'll like it, and I think that would be really cool for for the air. So.
Yeah, and I think all pocket shows are pay what you want, right?
No.
Oh, I am wrong.
They're $10 ahead of time, $14 at the door.
Pocket shows are a different cost than I realized.
The drinks are pay what you want.
Mm. So, I don't know.
No, that's.
That.
I don't think
that
that's.
I
don't even think that's
really?
Legal.
Yeah, that's.
They did it at some point. Go get them. Cops.
While it lasts.
Yeah.
Oh, no cops.
No, no cops. Please, no cops. Ever.
What if you're getting mugged?
Yeah.
I have called the police
he
while I've been watching...
He wants Phoenix Jones to save him, is what he wants.
I've watched a man punch cars in the street, and 911 was hesitant to come help me. Especially when the guy, like, started chasing me, swearing and running after me. And I'm, like, on the phone, they're like, what race is he? I'm like, I'm not getting near the guy punching cars so you could racially profile him. If you come to this address, you will see him. He's very obvious.
I'll give you a description. Car puncher.
Car puncher.
He's the car puncher.
If I hold my phone out on speaker, you can hear him shouting profanity.
Oh, neat.
He's the guy swearing really loud, punching cars.
Yeah. We're near the U District. I know you have cops there crashing frat parties, so why don't you send someone to do something useful?
To be fair, though, crashing frat parties is more important than any guy yelling at cars punching them.
I was going to say, that is pretty useful.
That's pretty useful. Those frat boys need to be taken down a notch.
If Adam Fangman were here, he would be so mad at you right now.
Yeah, he would, and he's not.
There's a comedy sports player, Adam Fangman, who has the biggest beard of any comedy sports player.
I'm looking at the big board right now, trying to pick him out.
He's the one with the big beard. He also can, like, deadlift 500 pounds or something. He's a very strong, beefy man.
And he loves frats.
He is a frat boy.
He's a total frat boy.
He lives with, like, a bunch of frat guys in a house in Greenwood.
Which frat?
I don't know what
the drama frat.
No,
the art frat.
No, it's like a super bro-y frat.
It is a bro-y frat, and he's funny as an improviser. I love him to death. But we did this exercise once where we're in order to get to work on our weaknesses, strengths. We're like, okay, I want you to do this scene, and then we give them a way to do it differently than what they like. So people tend towards a certain path, and we tried to get him to play a low status character. And even as a low status character, he plays high status. Like, he cannot be unconfident, like, weak, like, playing down to somebody else. He was just like, ugh. And I'm like, do you even know what a, like, I guess he was playing like a nerdy character. Do you even know what it's like to get bullied by somebody? And like,
he doesn't know because he's nerd's like, yeah, math.
You get that math and you do it! Yeah!
I heard someone making fun of Harry Potter in the next room!
Yeah.
Let's go get him!
Well, when you have a giant beard, that's the life you lead.
When do these post?
Well, I try and get them posted by Wednesday.
So. Okay, so you guys watch out like Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, it's swirly time.
Yeah,
is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, Adam Fangman hosts a board game night at his house every other week or so that I go to, and it is weird playing like Werewolf and Spyfall with bros. Like,
nice.
Because it's, usually, like, the nerdy, awkward people that play board games have trouble in, the social games, like, breaking out of their shell and talking and, like, oh, I can lie, oh. Well, these guys are, like, destroying me, like, you're the werewolf, I know it! Flip the table.
Yeah.
I'm not a werewolf, I do human push-ups.
All right. Speaking of comedy sports players, CSC Seattle players, y'all are new to being players. So I'd like to just talk with you about what that means to you to be a player with CSC Seattle. Maybe if you want to talk about your story of getting there so that we can make a Lifetime Made for TV movie about it you inevitably die from some tragic disease.
If it's a Lifetime movie, do I have to like abandon my kids?
You don't have kids. You have to abandon something else.
You can go into a coma.
Yeah, you can go into a coma where there's people.
I'd rather abandon some kids.
But if there's people who love you, who you won't let love you, and you finally let them love you just before you die.
I don't understand any of that.
That sounds uplifting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell my improv story of woe.
Okay, let's hear yours.
So right when I got out of college, I lived out in the middle of nowhere. It's totally, like, very remote central Washington, working on a dam. And while I was out there, I started listening to a bunch of improv podcasts. And I was like,
Were you working, was it Grand Coulee?
That was downstream from Grand Coulee, the Chief Joseph Dam.
So you're not even, like, working at, like, the big dam. You were even far away from the big dam.
He already feels bad about his dam past.
Was there a visitor center with, like, a, like, museum exhibits?
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't, like, it was still, had some status. It wasn't super low status.
We had brochures.
Yeah.
You could find out about it from a local rest stop and go, oh, I should check out this dam.
Yeah, all the brochures were, like, left over from 1983, but they were there. You could read them. But, yeah, so there is no, like, creative community there.
Real quick, though, just to interrupt, what do you call frat boy agreements?
I don't know what.
Brochures.
You know what's funny is how we did actually go from talking about frat boys to this, so that pun works on so many levels right now.
Well, but you don't agree to anything in a brochure, Justin.
Sure.
Bro.
Bro. Okay, sorry.
Daniel, do you know what puns are?
No.
Okay, cool.
Well, he won't be getting a groaner foul anytime soon.
Yeah. just you wait.
So you're at the dam.
Yeah, and there's no any sort of theater, anything. And at the time, the concept of doing improv was super intimidating to me. And then I just talked myself into, like, that'd be fun. I think I would like this. Like, everyone, like, in the entertainment community that I idolize went through improv at some point in their life. So at a certain point, I was just like, I'm going back to Seattle. And part of that is I'm going to take an improv class. And for the longest time, I always convinced myself, like, oh, I'm here for public communication type stuff. I was totally lying. I was like, no, I want to perform. That's what I want to do. And, I went all the way through Jet City, did a bunch of long-form stuff. I took a class here, the Armando class, which was very fun. And Alex Grindeland gave a big speech about how you should never become a long-form snob. And I was like, oh, that's me. That's me really bad. And so I thought about it more. Like, I should become more well-rounded, do more short-form stuff. And that eventually ended up with me auditioning here and getting put on the cast.
Yeah, and to the long form snob, it's really hard because, like, I think people tend to, like, they get comfortable wherever they are, short form, long form, and so it's really easy to become, like, snobby, like, mine's the better art. Kind of like we get snobby about our country, like, mine's the better country. You know, like,
we're not bad anymore, though.
but we're good at being snobby about it. We're still really good at being snobs about it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, and the way I was taught about the whole thing, too, which this might just be a comedy sports thing, but I was trained comedy sports style in San Jose, and the first class was talking about, you know, we start you with long form because it's easier for you to take time and breathe a little bit before you have to take all those same lessons from long form and compress them down into short form. You don't not take the lessons of long form in short form. You don't throw them away. You just have to figure out how to compress them down appropriately. And I think the best short form improvisers do it that way, where they actually compress and they do good scene work in just 2 to 3 minutes kind of thing, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Alex.
What's up?
What's your story?
I feel like I've said this on this podcast before, but I got into improv through doing like role playing and story game kind of stuff. So like having to go out in public and host games that are about like just making up stories and dialogue and improvising to not an audience effectively with, you know, a rule set behind it. And I've been doing that for like 10 years. I got into comedy sports in particular. We do that Wednesday Jam, and my friend John Araya, who I knew from working at Microsoft, dragged me to it because it's his plan that he wants all his friends to do improv because he's a big happy guy and he just wants to have fun with everyone.
It's true. I want everybody to do improv too, but I don't drag anybody to it.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
But randomly people show up and go, Daryl told me to be here, and somebody goes, hey, so-and-so you know shows up, and I'm like, huh? Like, I think that's how Brittany started going to the improv jam, because I guess I told her to go once.
But yeah, so John dragged me in. I had fun. Alex Grendelin at some point recognized me from going to a couple jams, and he saw me on the street and just yelled at me to take a class. And so I did.
Much better at marketing than me.
Yeah. He's very, yeah. I got into this. I really enjoy especially in comedy sports and in short form, the like game aspect of it. Because I don't have a theater background, which is rarer here, or like any interest in acting.
I don't have a theater background either. I have a wrestling background. So.
You have a theater background.
Geek background.
Yeah, but no, it's fun. It's fun like finding like the mechanical aspect of the game. What makes people like respond? And in not just a, like, I have to be witty constantly, but in a, like, oh, here's how they react, here's how I can play with what their expectations are and everything and elicit a response.
And I think your latest game that we played, that felt so natural from a improv set.
Yeah, go look back a couple episodes where we played Conspire on the podcast. Ugh. That is super based on improv. Yeah. I also invented a comedy sports game.
Oh, yeah, which one?
I invented a game called Tinder Swipe for
comedy sports. Oh, that's right, that was you.
How do you play that?
So if you've ever used the dating app Tinder, which every time we get someone on stage lies about it, they're always like super awkward. We had a guy last night ask his wife or his girlfriend for permission to play the game. It was very awkward.
You're at the Blue Show, dude.
Anyway, yeah, so the way it works is you have an audience volunteer who has to be over 18 for legal reasons, and they are told the players are going to give their dating profiles, and they can either swipe left and have them go away forever, or swipe right and have a little mini date, and at any point, unlike real Tinder, if the date is going poorly, they can swipe left and escape. But yeah, so it encourages, like, it's players making little characters, presenting them and interacting with an audience member. And it escalates from like normal people you might find on Tinder with their fish and bathroom selfies to Adam Fangman's character of a plate of bacon.
Yeah, it goes places.
And then dating the actual
character.
Audience volunteer.
Yeah, so the audience volunteer sits here and is like, hi. And they're like, so, do you like bacon or whatever? Like, you know, it's just whatever the...
It's Adam Fangman, so it's like, so you like bacon, right? I am the best bacon, you know? Because there's no question in his mind, you like bacon, if it's Adam Fangman, bacon.
It's just a microcosm of speed dating.
Nice. Yeah, and it's really good. I broke the game once because I didn't swipe myself out of it.
Yeah, you just ran away with the audience volunteer after, like, 2 seconds of the game.
Ooh,
and
it went well.
It did.
It's funny how you can break any game by just leaving the game.
Yeah, so like, you can break theater if you just
shoot an actor?
I needed a little bit of love, and I was getting it. So I was like, hey, show's over. I'm going.
Aren't you married?
Yeah. Okay. I need love, just like anybody else.
No one needs love. That's the moral of BoJack Horseman, is no one needs love.
Yeah.
Who couldn't learn from a cartoon TV show?
Do you have permission? I have permission to, in a scene, if it goes there, to go there.
Yes.
Oh, really?
For the spirit of improv.
My first professional improv show was a romance, so we had Kiss Call, where we had to like get used to kissing each other that we might kiss in the scene.
Like prior to the show?
Yeah.
We're all going to get used to kissing each other.
No, just on stage, they just went around like, okay, everyone, let's...
We did. No, it was awkward at first, but then you just get like very comfortable with the people you're playing with.
Wow.
And so...
Did everyone get tested beforehand?
For kissing diseases? For mono? Nice. There it is.
For herpes, but you know, that's cool.
But if you don't have like a festering...
That's not true.
Really? Oh,
uh-oh. Well, everyone has it already.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I think it's 60 to 80% of people have herpes simplex, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a big deal. I don't want to like shame anyone who has it. It would just be unfortunate to catch it from
improv,
from an improvised play instead of actually getting lucky.
Yeah, instead of actual kissing. I got cold sores, but it was worth it.
Does anyone have herpes complex?
Nice.
Isn't that what the herpes 2 is called?
No. If it is, that'd be cool. It's,
I am almost certain.
Simplex and complex. I have a herpes complex.
And that I don't want it.
Yeah. It's like an Oedipus complex, but way less sexy. I'm gonna look this up while Justin tells his backstory.
Yeah, right. Justin, tell us your backstory so that we can make fun of it too.
So the improv version.
Yes, the improv version. Don't tell us your superhero backstory because you still have to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
Shh. Just gave it away.
You're wearing glasses. Nobody will know when you take them off.
I also changed my part
to the other. That's extremely helpful.
Improv for me started with the British version of Whose Line Is It Anyway, which still had the same people. Colin and Ryan Stiles were on there, and
Greg Proops,
yeah. And I thought that was great, and I would watch it. But I didn't know that. I thought that was just a game show. I didn't know that was a thing until moving here. My wife took me to see Jet City. Before they had their theater, they were like down in some, borrowing a building from UW. And I laughed so hard I cried. Like I was just crying in disbelief that they were really honestly making that stuff up. And they mentioned the Improv Dojo. And I went to it. And Mike Christensen was leading it. And it was like a kind of a... spiritual experience for me. Like we did some warm-up games where these like magical improv things happened where like, you know, a story just like one word at a time story, but it just made this amazing story that had a beginning and a middle and an end, and like right at this perfect ending, then he'd be like, and end scene. And I was like, wow, look, what just happened? I gotta do more of this. And I got super addicted.
All I said was the and it turned out beautiful.
And I said it. But yeah, just like I think he's a good teacher, and just hearing him talk about things like don't try and be funny, and that was a huge thing for me when I started classes too, like realizing, wow, every time I try and be funny, it's a failure, and when I just honestly react, then all of a sudden you get this like volley of laughter, and it's surprising, and it's I got really into that, and I definitely turned into a long-form snob, and our group started while we were doing the Unexpected Productions classes, a bunch of us started a group, and we were like, we're only going to do long form, no short form, and got really into like UCB theory and the ASCAD, and that kind of inspired our format. And then, I don't know, I think we've been doing shows for like 3 years, and I started doing some short form, or we would every once in a while get into like Womb Escape or some kind of like contest where there's short form, and I realized that they're all really good exercises. Like you're talking about how kind of all of long form can be in one scene.
Yeah.
Well, also it seems like every scene or every game is like really working almost like one specific skill. And when I got into the fun of that, I started to enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah.
And I saw Alex and Keeson do long form at Jet City and also at the Pocket. They did like their story of how they drove out here and played at every Comedy Sports and they opened this. And I was like, damn, they're really good at long form and they really enjoy long form. And that got me thinking more about short form and comedy sports. And I tried out and I got in.
You know, and I want to tell you, because we've talked about long form snobbery for a while, you can come on up here. You're a player too.
A new player.
Oh, it's new.
Another new player. The new player panel keeps getting bigger.
Scoot down.
Introduce yourself, will you?
My name is Reed Backstrom.
Reed Backstrom. And, project. Pretend like you're in a show and there's, like, all these invisible people out here.
But the people are, like, suspended slightly above your head.
Yeah, and they all share a single ear.
Okay, terrific. So what should I tell?
Your improv story.
How'd you get here?
Oh, okay.
How did and I your get Twitter here? Handle.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell them your Twitter handle.
And all your podcasts.
At Reed Backstrom. Improv story, very briefly, is I was living alone in False City, which is a ways out, pretty isolated.
I know False City.
And so I was just like, man, I'm such a young person. Like, I need to do something instead of just go back to False City all the time. And so I took, like, an improv class from UP in Redmond. And then they stopped it after the second level, you know, the 200 level.
Because you were too good.
No, because they just didn't have enough people out there to take the class. And then I started playing with a long-form team called East Side Story, and then another one called Mr. Snake. And I moved to Fremont and started coming to some jams here and some shows. And I hadn't really known comedy sports that well until I started to kind of go into those and then have a lot of fun. So decided to audition.
Yeah, great. And now you are a part of the family.
Part of the family. This is my first show.
First show.
Me too. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Me too.
Well,
as a player.
I did half a show.
You did half a show.
And the All-Stars thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's a good time too because you get to be around seeing like all the different players. I mean, that's the thing about comedy sports that's cool is that it's a big family of like, but like CSC Seattle is different from CSC Quad Cities or CSC New York or CSC Chicago.
We're way better.
Sure. Adam Fagman would agree.
Alex Scrindlin, the owner of CSC Seattle at Championships, teaching a workshop called Explain the Controversy. And it's about like, hey, all the comedy sports do things differently. Why don't you justify why your way is better? And we'll try to learn.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be him browbeating why our way is better.
Yeah. This is why Seattle's better. I got you guys all here. Here you know. But, yeah, I think what I wanted to say about long-form snobbery, not so much snobbery, but it reminded me of, especially with comedy sports, something I don't think gets said a lot because it's basically my theory and I'm not sure it's a real thing. But I think about comedy sports as a long-form show. Because, like any long-form show, it's got a form that is an hour and a half long.
That's long.
Well, it is an hour and a half long. And you've got constants there. You've got the constants of the ref. You've got the constants of the sport metaphor of the teams playing against each other. These are all things that are part of the performance. And I take on a character as a player that I'm going to play that night. And along with me going into a scene playing another character. So it's like, it's long form improv about short form improv in a way. Mm-hmm. But I really think of comedy sports as long form because I believe it's important that we don't get lost in the games, but we always look at the show as a whole.
Nice. Well, comedy sports is as much about crowd work as anything, I feel like, because it's more about the interaction with the audience, and because we're like we choose the games, we have this like spectacle around it. It's just reacting to them in a very direct way. That's not the like subtle drifting through scenes and stuff. It's oh, they liked that thing we did. Let's just do more of that.
Yeah, actually, I've been pretty impressed by the amount of thought put into everything that happens during a show. Like, there's not those little kind of awkward moments where there's no noise, and then someone comes out and says, "All right, okay, this is an intermission then.
Yeah. Go get a beer or whatever."
Unless during your show where our tech guy spilled beer on the light box and got blacked out. Like mid-sentence, your scene is done.
Yeah. That was a weird edit.
I spilled a beer on the console.
Anthony, he was one of the teachers of our Herald class, so I actually thought we had just done really bad. And he was like, "No, this is over now. The light's down.
I attach my name to this."
Can I just say, for my listeners, because my Inception show is actually shorter than a normal podcast, thank you for tuning in to episode one of Inception. Okay, sorry.
Great.
Speaking to your, it's a show within a show, but you're doing a performance as a character. You ever take a heel turn as comedy sports?
Oh, all the time. And
I've never liked Daryl's character.
Well, as a former professional wrestler who played a heel. Yeah.
When you said wrestling, you were talking about
professional wrestling,
like WWF.
Yeah, that's,
is that why everyone's always talking about wrestling around here?
Wow. Well, there's a lot of wrestling fans around here.
Okay.
In this group, CSC Seattle. But I was a heel as a wrestler. I think I only had one match ever where I was a face. Mm-hmm. And then I had one match where I was supposed to be a heel, but I went out and I had brought most of the audience to the match. So I went out and everybody was cheering for me. So
stop clapping.
So it was like, okay, we're gonna switch the match where you guys are the heel, mm-hmm. we're the faces. That was a cage match, so that was interesting. But I'm so used to playing a heel and like the idea that any reaction is good. It's the non-reaction, like they don't react in any way to you. That I think some people still have it where it's tough to like take a bad reaction. Like you want everybody to like you, but I think going out and being like any reaction is good. And if you plan on being the bad guy, if you plan on being, I think that's really good, especially because we are putting on a show. And so like, I've definitely seen it where you will see a team. There's certain players who do it well. Keeson will do it well. He'll decide to be a bad guy. Josh Chambers, he loves playing a bad guy.
Yep.
You know, in fact, that's the way he hosts this podcast. He wants to be a heel host of this podcast.
Yep. He's a heel roommate.
That too. But that's just real life. You know?
I view every day in this house as a performance. And my audience, my roommates.
That's how we treat sex. It's way too loud to be just for them.
Are you Josh Chambers? Right on in!
It's weird, he yells out his own name.
Josh! 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 And he's got that, like, takes on, like, more of, like, a theater voice.
Why did he have, like, a Dracula voice?
Yeah. He was playing a role of Josh as Dracula.
Guy. Yeah, okay.
Josh Killer.
Yeah, why do you hold up a skull?
He's like...
I can't get off unless I'm soliloquying.
PG-13.
There was... I don't know what ratings are.
Yeah.
Never mind. I felt that was fine.
You know, what's funny is because I don't really have a sense. The idea that it's PG-13 is always like, okay, I'm going to edit this, and if I cringe when I listen to it, I'll edit it down. If I don't cringe, I won't. So it has less to do with an actual rule. Like, there's no FCC saying, oh, no, this is
That's shocking that this isn't reviewed by some board.
Not yet. You know, it's just going to be somebody soon who's, like, taking responsibility for it, and I'm just like, okay, you know, I'll spend all my hard-earned $1 a month on editing it more.
So is Sex Dracula gonna make the cut?
I
That's a great Yahoo question.
Is Sex Dracula gonna make the cut? Join us again next week when we talk in what Inception podcast is gonna, what podcast are you gonna be on next?
You just never know.
You just gotta listen to every podcast possible until you find episode two.
Yeah. It might take years to find, you know, the first 10.
That would be awesome. I really hope. And then, like, shirts start popping up. It's like, I listen to the Inception podcast.
But it's on, like, a different band's t-shirt.
It's like, I listen to, yeah, it's like after, if there's an after party t-shirt, let's say I actually make one. It's like, I was there for Inception number one.
Yeah, if you get out a jeweler's loop and look at that Metallica t-shirt with all the crucifixes, it says Inception podcast on one of those, in the very back.
Yeah. And now we've got a Matthew Moore, another...
Hi,
yeah. Hello! He's a podcast alumni.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's here to...
they let anyone on this thing.
...show to be Mr. Voice.
Actually having all of you staring at
Yeah,
you're our audience.
I feel like I'm on the stage and you're in the audience.
I feel like we're all Josh Chambers and, well, you're you.
Wow, like, so we've gotten Josh Chambers, we made fun of him, we've made fun of that Adam Thingman.
We made fun of Daryl?
Not enough. Like, I'm an easy target and people just don't make fun of me enough. I mean, you try, but...
Oh, do you want me to? I can make it sting.
Is it open season on Daryl?
Yeah,
why not? Let's make it open season.
Yeah, I think more of the podcast about the new players, of which there are four on the panel, should be about Daryl.
Okay. That was actually probably the most sting of all. That was really good.
I told you I could do it.
It's like, you're a terrible host, Daryl.
I worked in the kitchen for 5 years. I learned how to just be a jerk.
Oh, that was a learned trade. I thought that was just natural for you.
No.
Is that from kitchen trade?
I just
learned how to get high in the cooler.
Were you a cook or a server?
Dishwasher.
Yeah.
Dishwasher. It always makes me think, I don't know, like, see the movie Dragon, the Bruce Lee story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With Brandon Lee, right?
Not with Brandon Lee, with Jason Lee.
Oh, Jason Lee.
But there's that scene where she's like, or you could just be a dishwasher. And it's like, that's what I think about with a dishwasher.
That's funny, because I often thought that's how I got through years and years of washing dishes.
You thought you were going to be Bruce Lee.
No, but I thought, I'm doing dish foo. And I, like...
There's a video game about that.
What?
Yeah, Dishwasher Dead Samurai.
Dishwasher Dead Samurai?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's a little indie game. It's like hack and slash, but yeah, you're a person who has been a dishwasher under a secret like sensei, and you just kill people with cleavers for the first start of the game. And you're super awesome.
Why cleavers? How does that relate to washing dishes?
Well, you're probably washing some meat cleavers.
You typically don't have that many meat cleavers to wash.
I have several meat cleavers.
Yeah, like one.
Let's say you're at a butcher shop.
Give those to the cleaver washer. I do the dishes, he does the cleavers.
Yeah, he was a dishwasher, not a cutlery washer. I mean, come on.
He worked for a really, like, compulsive butcher who every slice would just go over.
He's like, nope, done.
Faster!
What's that,
faster.
That
movie where he's washing his hands with the soap, and then as he kind of finishes it, he just throws it away and he grabs another new soap? Jack Nicholson.
Con Air.
Has Tourette's or something.
As good as it gets?
He makes that line where someone's like, oh, you're such a good writer. How do you write from the female perspective?
Yeah, it's as good as it gets. That was that one. Yeah.
That kind of butcher.
I just imagine a man, and then I remove all common sense and intelligence or something terrible like that.
Reason and accountability.
Yeah.
Reason and accountability.
Yeah, it was just like...
No.
It's one of those romances where you go like, I don't buy it.
It wouldn't have worked.
Wait, did that star Diane Keaton?
Yeah.
I love her.
It wasn't Helen Hunt?
Wait, no, I think you're right. I think it's... I think you're right. I think it's Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt.
Yeah. Helen Hunt. All right. On that note.
No! Another.
Hello.
It's a Diddy. It's a Paul Diddy.
It's almost as if The show call time is now, and people are showing up.
It's almost as if that. And this is our new player panel, so if you'd like to join us, pull up a seat and join our really well-miked room here.
Okay.
Or not. We don't have, I mean, we don't even, like, really warm up on Pro-Am days until, like...
Daryl, I just have to go to the bathroom really badly.
We'll go to the bathroom!
Okay, bye, everyone.
Paul, there's a seat here.
There's a seat here.
Yeah, oh. Check the seat.
He makes fun of me anyways. I don't like him. Okay. So, all right. What other stuff... well, Paul, since you're here, tell us about you.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Well, how can people find you online, and what do you do?
I'm unemployed, and I have a website that has...
Your resume.
A resume on it.
It's a Google Docs link.
It's a Google Docs link, yep. The link's broken currently, but I'm working on that.
You're a web developer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I do improv occasionally. I write a story a day based on Merriam-Webster's Word of the Day as, like, inspiration.
Cool.
That's on that website. They're not very exciting.
Those words are tough.
Yeah, Occam's Razor was really hard. I didn't really know what to do with that one, but I figured it out. yeah, so that's...
What, but what is the link?
Oh, PaulDiddy.com.
Oh, PaulDiddy.com.
Yeah.
So, PaulDiddy.com.
Have you noticed... I keep seeing little clips... like news blurbs showing how Merriam-Webster is kind of trolling Trump.
Oh, really?
Like with their word of the day, it'll be something related to something he like misspoke or some kind of thing that's, you know, that he's maybe lying about. And Merriam-Webster will tweet their word of the day with some comment about, you know, here's the real meaning of the word whatever.
Yeah, they're saucy. Mm.
Yeah.
Here's the real meaning, or here's the word that means tiny hands, or whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't it really the place of a dictionary to have a political perspective?
In today's modern era, yes.
Okay.
Well, but it's their place to make sure people aren't murdering the English language.
Yeah.
So with lies and you know.
That is true. There's an outsized influence that if you are the president, a lot of people read the words that you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if the dictionary isn't going to police that, then who will?
The kings of words. Well, and the interesting thing about dictionaries, and for the most part, dictionaries don't try and police words like, we're going to tell you what these words mean because we say so. They usually say, we're going to tell you what these words mean to people. That's why new words come in and old words go out, is because... they evolve with the language. And there's even been some things where people have been like really hardcore trying to be like grammar Nazis and like, oh, that's not what this word means. And they're like, well, actually, this. And then somebody's like, what are you, a dictionary? Why don't you keep people to what it means? It's like, because we evolve with the language. And but there is something to be said for if the president's just trying to straight up lie and change the definition because he said it. That's different than like a whole. It's just become commonplace where everybody said it. So kind of gotta place it that way.
Well, what does the thesaurus think? That's what I want to know.
Yes, Christine. Hey, you can join the panel too.
I would want to, but my water's about to explode.
It's funny how that happens. Go explode it. Yeah, go explode the bladder. Yeah, so wonderful. And then we have a Dave Bogan who's not a new player. He's just a wild Dave Bogan that appeared. My wife is calling me. She's wondering where some keys are, and I think they're in my coat.
You blew it.
Vamp while you text your wife on the podcast.
Yeah, we need to call Diddy's
improv. Well, while this is happening, I'm going to pee. Yeah.
We need your improv story. We all told how we ended up here as related to improv.
Okay, well, my improv story started a year ago, taking classes here at Comedy Sports. And then I kept taking classes, and I'm still taking classes. And, yeah. I took a Herald class last fall, winter, and now I'm on a Herald team.
I want to unpack this a little bit when you're done telling your story, but we've said it a couple times about a herald, right. And not if anybody's listening to this who is not an improviser, they'll have no idea what that means.
Well, they already wouldn't because we've been saying terms like short form and long form and.
Yeah, and yes, they've already shut it up. You're right. They stopped listening a long time ago.
Or they Googled it.
Yeah.
Or they Googled it. Kids, internet.
I forgot to plug Love Pony.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Yeah, Justin and I and Dan are all on a team, Love Pony. Where he just ran away. And we've done a few shows now. I'm going to do a couple more coming up soon-ish, I think, right?
Yeah, keep checking that.
Just refresh.
Page.
Yep.
Keep refreshing.
There is a Google Doc for that.
Is it F5 or Control R or Command R, depending on what computer
it's
you
somewhere.
Have.
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, just keep refreshing till you figure out the next show. Don't watch any other shows before that.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. Hey, there's a seat for you right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me go around.
Yeah.
So why did you take an improv class?
Because I thought I would be good at it, and I'm learning slowly that I'm kind of okay at it, but, it's a long process, but, and it's super fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
That's fine. Hey, here's our, another new panelist here.
Hello.
Hey, introduce yourself, and we've been telling our improv story.
Our improv story. Okay,
yeah.
So my name is Christina Vasquez.
And how can people find you online and stuff if they want to?
I am on Facebook.
Ooh.
You can find me on Facebook with my full name, which, if I should spell it, there's no H in my first name. Vasquez, V-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z. It's super easy because there's no S's. I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas. I was part of Comedy Sports San Antonio for about almost a year. Before then, I was doing different long-form troupes as well. I was part of a troupe for a little while, like a hiccup called Alamo City Improv. Then I was part of the Doozies, which is a long-form troupe. Then later
They're coming to get you. I haven't had any sirens until now.
This is the sound of the
police.
It's
because it's me. And I've been doing improv for about 2.5 years, around there.
Nice.
Yeah, around 2.5 years. I started because I was at a local theater, community theater, and one of the actors was also part of the home, I guess like the theater troupe that was there. And he was like, you should just try it. I was like, what? No. Sounds scary. I don't want to do it. And my director's husband, who I admire a lot, said, just try it and remember, don't ever say no. Don't ever say no. And I was like, oh, okay. So I tried it and then I got really hooked after that. It took one rehearsal and then that was it. I was like, oh, I can do this. This is amazing. I get to do what? On the spot? Okay. Let's do it.
And how many people just start speaking if this is your relationship? My relationship to improv is the same thing. Like, first time I did improv, I was like, oh, this is the thing.
Yeah,
super fun.
Like I just got hooked on it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I got something. I was like, I kept thinking I should try it for various reasons, but the first class I took, it was just like, this.
Oh, yeah. I was like, super anxious about it, doing a bunch of jams at first. I did not enjoy it until, like, 7 classes in.
Oh, wow. What kept you going then?
That I had paid to be there.
I'm kind of in the same boat. It took me a while to.
No,
really
no, that's
engage.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously not everyone's going to have the same thing, but I was just interested.
Wait, you mean the two people that are engineers on this panel?
Well, also, your first 8 classes are just like, it's okay for you to do things in front of people. Like, you can move in front of people and they might clap.
Yeah. So, you know,
the first while, I was like, hi, everybody, my favorite color is green. I'm going to go sit down again.
Yeah, that initial.
This is feeding a dark part of me.
Yeah, like that initial understanding, it's like, it's okay to not be the smartest person in front of a group of people. is like really nerve wracking. And then when it's like, oh, it's funny and it's okay to be like that, it's really, it feels really good when you like get that audience behind you and like they start to like go along with what you're doing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Has anyone heard of David Rozowski?
Uh-huh.
I've done a couple few workshops with him, and he's really amazing at like showing you how you can just like not even move, like don't even move, just hold and don't even change your opinion, and like you, he like forces you to like do something where you wouldn't normally do, like just no, don't change, and it's funny, like even just someone being in the same position and not moving and like consciously choosing to not do anything like can be really funny for some reason that I can't quite explain, but yeah. His workshops are great for like showing you like how you can just move normally and talk normally and just be normal, but it's still like really effective.
Because it's like improv, my take of improv, what I've seen is that normal life, in order to make it safer, and like we don't want to take risks around our job or around our relationships, we oftentimes become like very pliant, so just change our mind. Like we have a goal, but we're like, okay, I'll just try. I don't want to work this weekend, but okay, I'll come in because I don't want to lose my job. Or you know, we become too pliant and we'll change this idea of who we are really quick. But improv, you actually get to have an idea and just stick it out and have that reaction that you want to have. And that is kind of funny because people, even if you started from a position that people wouldn't necessarily be, they're just like, oh, that's so, that is funny because like, that's how I think that person should react. Yeah.
And then learning like when it, like holding that tension, but then at some point letting yourself change, but not right away. But then like if you wait a long time and then change, it's like a big payoff or something.
Yeah.
I'd wrestled with it because of the don't say no thing. Like that was always hard for me to. If I had an opinion that was like, I disagree with this thing, like it was hard for me to say like, no, I'm not going to do that because I thought I had to yes and it.
Yeah,
and yes and is very much done. It's not what you think. It's like you're saying yes to the reality and you've created your own reality. But like you have to start for a lot of people from just saying, just say yes and just do that. Actually say the words yes and. You have to start people from there because people are so used to going, no, but, you know, like that's like their response to everything in life.
So. That's what I say in most of my relationships, no but.
I feel like yes and's that foundation that you build. You know, until you start getting into more complex ways of handling a scene. Because one of my teachers in San Antonio always said that real life is funny. Real life is funny. Like, show me that. Show me, like, how would you react to that? Be true to that. Mm-hmm. Be true to that reaction because more than likely someone else feels the exact same way you do. And that's going to be hilarious to them. And that's going to change their moment, their world for a split second. That's like, oh, okay, they get it. But now they're making it funny. I was like, oh, I feel like that all the time. And now I actually get to see it. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like using improv as a way to, like, voice my own insecurities.
Yep.
Like, I don't want to be bald. And I've talked about that once on stage in full honesty. And people just pooped their pants. I think because a bunch of people also did not want to be bald. Or had experienced
it. I don't want
That's to a real fear for me, too.
Yeah, it is.
As someone who's going bald.
Yeah. That was a really weird game of what are you doing?
Trying not to get bald.
Like, hey, what are you doing? And then he just goes through the
What is the existential dread that consumes us all?
You got 2 good years.
All right. Well, we've got to wrap this up because we've all got to get in and warm up and figure out show stuff. So really quick, before we go, instead of ending, I usually end on misattributed quotes, but since we've got such a big group here, I want to do a rousing round of Gaston. To warm up.
Gaston.
It's like a Beauty and the Beast song.
Yeah, it's Beauty and the Beast song. So it's like, no one, something like Gaston.
No one blasts like
Gaston. Let's get him so that he's not like, fourth. Because of the positioning and stuff.
Wait, who's what?
Yeah, let's get
I'll be what now?
Yeah.
I'm terrible at song. Yeah. Let's have the talented person be where I am.
So it's the no one blahs like Gaston, no one blahs like Gaston, and somebody blah da dee blah like Gaston, the blah da dee blah da blah blah blah. I got it. Okay.
All right.
So want me to sit there?
Yeah, you sit there.
You sit there.
Before and I'll be first.
All right.
I'll go second.
I'll go third.
Hi, I'm Christine.
Hey.
Yep. By the way, if you ever come see a comedy sports show, you can watch me fail email. Any musical game ever.
Just fuck it up.
Right. I know you by your email.
All right, here we go.
No one
swipes like Gaston.
No one gripes like Gaston.
And when he's done with the bathroom, no one wipes like Gaston.
He's especially good at hygiene.
No one sits
like Gaston. No one quits like Gaston.
No one even knows when to take the bathroom.
He's a guy who likes his toiletries.
My God, Gaston.